This is the message delivered by Ms. Choyon Che on September 10th, 2023. The message title is God's Time. The scripture passage is from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. What proverbs do you think of when you hear the word time? It seems that there are proverbs about time in every country. I think there is a common understanding among people regarding the concept of time. I feel like I live according to this time so as not to be late because I must not let time slip away. With the big data that has been gathered from human historical experiences over a long, long period of time, it seems that by this time we have developed a way of thinking that tells us what is the appropriate time for certain things or what has to be achieved by a certain time. There are definitely times when you should not miss out. For those who work in the fields, if you miss one time, such as when to sow seeds, when flowers bloom, or when to harvest, it will affect the next action. Therefore, I believe that many people think that the time is something that should not be lost. As a Christian, one of the words we often use is God's time. I think God's time has come when something that I cannot control, such as nature or an unexpected event, comes clear or shows its results. I think that I have often used this phrase, God's time. Also, when things are not ready or things are not going well, I often use the phrase, it's not the time yet. In fact, there is a similar scene in today's passage of scripture, and today we would like to look at the book of Haggai together. I will read today's Bible passage first. Haggai chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come. Rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it the time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. The book of Haggai is a very short, having only two chapters. The year and the month that the prophet Haggai received words from God are also written. There is usually a short introduction of the author of other prophets, such as whose son he was and which tribe he belonged to. But there is no mention of whose son the prophet Haggai was or what tribe he belonged to. Haggai was like the wind, who was like a loudspeaker, simply conveying the words God had spoken to him. That is the image I personally have about him. In order to understand the book of Haggai, I need to explain its somewhat complicated historical background. Since it is related to the building of God's temple, I think you can deepen your understanding by referring to the book of Ezra in the Old Testament. The Persian king Cyrus was moved by God and ordered the Jews to return to their homeland and build a temple for God. This marked the end of the Jews' 70 years of captivity and their return to Jerusalem. When they returned, they found that many things had been destroyed. They might have finally decided to worship God properly from now on and never to worship idols again. Therefore, they began building the temple immediately. You could say that God's temple was their identity. However, the excitement of returning and immediately building a temple did not last very long. According to Ezra chapter 4 verse 2, the Samaritans also wanted to build the temple together with them. They might have thought that from now on they would stop worshiping idols and live according to God's word, or when the Samaritans proposed to build a temple together, they might have thought that it might turn out to be syncretism, so they might have thought they should not collaborate with Samaritans. However, the Samaritans interrupted the constructions of the temple. This event may seem to have rebelled against Jews, who were neither powerful nor economically wealthy at that time. The book of Haggai talks about the time 16 years after the building work was interrupted. And it is the time between chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the book of Ezra. This obstacle may have been very strong against the helpless Jews. In a sense, to humans, this was an event that could be said, "There's nothing we can do about it." Verse 2 says, "The time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house." In response to the suspension of the construction of the temple, the Jews continued to say, "The time has not come." Because the time has not come yet, there is nothing we can do when something out of our control happens. That's what they were saying. But God saw it differently. Verse 4, "Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin?" This house refers to the temple. Even though the temple is in ruins, "Do you still live in houses with good wooden boards?" God says. From this verse, we see a symmetry between the neglected temple of God and their homes. Although they had their own houses in good condition, they said regarding the temple, "The time has not yet come to build the house of the Lord." What kind of time were they talking about? They returned from Babylonian captivity by God's word that was fulfilled by your prophet Jeremiah. Their return was fulfilled only by God's promise, which showed that it was the time. Temple building was an event that could not be separated from the return from the captivity. Where did their decision of not building the temple with Samaritans or of not worshipping idols go? This is a scene that makes us wonder. Although they desired to receive God's grace, although they desired to return to being God's people, although they desired to find their own identity, we could say that they ignored the fundamentals of it and did not want to follow it. God continued to speak to the Jews through Prophet Haggai to make them understand it. verses 5 and 6. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Give careful thoughts to your ways. It means, how have you been living? Implying the past lifestyle as a believer and the current status that was brought by consequently. God is saying, turn to see your path you walked and its results. God points out how their lives had lost God's blessings. He says that their unfaithfulness was the cause of their poverty. They planted much but harvested little. Their harvest was so little compared with their toil. They were never satisfied. And they were never filled. They were not warmed. Whatever they did, no result was obtained. They earned reasonable wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This means their life was never easy. With specific examples, God explains that the 16-year walk resulted in no fruit. As long as they walked with the motivation, that motivation, no fruit was to be born and no good results were to be obtained. The reason for stopping the temple building was for them to build their own houses, and it took so long for them to build them nicely. Outwardly, they said that God's time has not come yet, but there was a motivation behind it deep in their heart, which was the desire to settle their own things first. This twisted motivation stayed for 16 years. Some of you might wonder whether or not 16 years were really needed. But from this fact, we understand that human beings cannot recognize their own real motivation. On top of that, they might have thought that they kept their faith because they did not collaborate with Samaritans. But God speaks to us through His words and through our environments. Don't you think this might also apply to us as Christians? In fact, we cannot realize the real motivation in our hearts, and even if we realize it, we cannot recognize it to be wrong. When God's word or someone else points it out to us, intuitively, we try to justify ourselves. When a sin is exposed, don't we try to tell others that we had no choice? Or we might speak to ourselves that this might be God's leading and spend the time to persuade ourselves. The Jews that we read today had spent 16 years under this condition. To them, God speaks. Think about the path you have come. If we are the same as these Jews, we need to rethink the path we have come. After pointing it out, God clearly describes what they had to do from now on. Verse 8, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. God demands not only what is in their heart, but also to show by actions. They needed to be ashamed of their wrong actions of the past and to change direction. The word, I may take pleasure in it and be honored, implied that God Himself was going to be pleased by the worship service in the temple that was to be built. But it also could mean that when the condition of God's people is prepared, God intervenes in the history to bring the age of the Messiah. If we think about the world situation in the confused period of that time, the latter seems to fit better. By building the temple, God's demand is respected and accepted among His people, and they are accepted by God. What did the Jewish people do about God's command? They received the word from God in the sixth month of the year. The seventh month of the year is a very busy time for the Jewish people because of a feast of tabernacles and other important festivals. But they began the temple building immediately. Ezra chapters 5 and 6 describe the process and the contents of the rebuilding the temple. If I outline it, just as before, they resume the construction as in God's word, but the start was not easy. The governor of Trans-Euphrates came to interrupt the construction, asking, "Who authorized you to build this temple and complete its decoration?" But this time, Jewish people did not stop the construction work as they did 16 years before. Ezra chapter 5 verse 5. But the eye of their God was watching over the elders of the Jews, and they were not stopped until a report could go to Darius and his written reply be received. Now the Jews did not look for an excuse, but worked as God said. As it is written, the eye of their God was watching over. Nothing could stop the temple building this time. Not only that, as written in Ezra chapter 6 verses 7-8, "Do not interfere with the work on this temple of God. Let the governor of the Jews and the Jewish elders rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I hereby decree what you are to do for these elders of the Jews in the construction of this house of God. Their expenses are to be fully paid out of the royal treasury from the revenues of Trans-Euphrates, so that the work will not stop." So they were able to proceed with the construction work, and what was needed for the work was all provided. Something impossible happened among the Jews. For a long time, they kept running away from it, giving reasons that the time had not yet come. But when they followed God's word, everything unexpectedly happened to be fulfilled. We have just listed how God worked. God showed to the Jews that God is the master of the history by the fact of the temple building. But some of you might wonder if God's ultimate purpose was the temple itself. It was not. If it were the temple, there would be no need to wait for 16 years. What God expected was for His people to leave the wrong path and to put God in the center of their lives. What about the temple? When they step out of the wrong path to walk the right path, God teaches us what is the right walk through visible results. Let us return to the word God's time. We tried to find a result through time. We often think this is the right time by having some visible results. This is why we panic when we think about time. Has the time come yet? It has to be now. We tend to use the same excuse as the Jews we read today. We panic that we might be behind others around us. Or we say the time has not come yet with an excuse that ours are not ready, or our house is not yet built, or we are not ready just like the people that we read in the Bible today. But obviously, God's time does not focus only on the visible results. If we focus only on the visible results, the Jews in the book of Haggai did not need to wait for 16 years. What God focuses on is always our hearts and the center of our hearts. But we humans cannot recognize the center of our hearts. God uses some visible results, to some extent, to explain it to us, to persuade us, and to encourage us. God's time is not the visible result, but we can say the time God's people return to God. When God's word points to us, we do not give any excuse but to obey by saying Amen. That is God's time, isn't it? I would like to read from Psalm chapter 95, verses 7 and 8. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if only you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness. Let us follow God, trust the center of our heart to Him, and obey Him, even if our obedience does not bring about the visible results. I believe what God really wants is for us to align our heart to His word. We are celebrating the 37th anniversary of this church building. We are His temple. Let us please God by having Him in the center of our heart. Let us pray.